for remembering our anniversary and 51 years, that's a long time, you know that? First Thessalonians. I want to look at this chapter one. What should a church look like? Chapter one gives us an incredible outline of the answer for that question, what a church should look like. What marks a church that is distinct, different? One that is sound, strong in the faith. What would make a church distinctive like that? I think sometimes we measure churches by the number of people in the pew. Well, certainly there ought to be growth in the church. But a church is not successful because they have a bunch of people there. A church is successful based on what God's word says a church is to be into. So in this first chapter, Paul talks to us about a church, the church of Thessalonica. In the 17th chapter of Acts, Paul made a trip down to Macedonia. That's the northern part of Greece. And they came to the city of Thessalonica. It was a Roman city, very strong Roman government. It was a trade city, great deal of trade went through that place. There was a small synagogue in Thessalonica. And so Paul came to Thessalonica and went to the synagogue and preached for three Saturdays. In fact, that's the only 10th time he was in Thessalonica. 3 weeks. He preached three times in the synagogue. It had an impact because as he was preaching, Greeks came. Many of the people who were not Jewish showed up. Some of the Jewish people became book followers. And many of the Greeks became followers. And so, the church started. We don't know how many. We just know that was the beginning of that church. From there he went down to Berea, then to Athens, then to Corinth. So he made a trip into Macedonia, through Greece, down to Achaia, which is where Corinth is. The writing of this letter is about maybe 10, 12 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. Titus destroyed that city and began great persecution of Christians. So we have in our passage several pictures of this church. Let me give them to you. Number one, a church that is going to be distinctive will have an assured faith. In verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, knowing, brother, your election of God, they were chosen to God's service. All God's people said.
Amen.
Amen.
Then he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So Paul makes this statement and says, we are recognizing your church. By the way, this is written several years, many years after he went to Thessalonica. And they had heard so much about this church that he spent 3 weeks in. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. But he only spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica. And the things he heard, the accolades that were made about him, the statements of faith displayed by other churches about this church reached Paul, and Paul said, you are a church of faith. Not only do you recognize your position in God, and by the way, we have a position in God, amen? We're called out of the darkness into light. We come from being Satan's children to God's children. We're adopted into God's family. All God's people said it.
Amen.
We have a heritage. We have a faith. He said that Paul said, you have an assured faith. It's an outstanding faith. God in his providence chose each one of these Thessalonian believers to salvation. They were marked, you might say, by God. And something happened there. Because you don't go to a town and in 3 weeks start a church. Trust me, we started a couple of churches in the church I pastored for a number of years. And we went over, we had to find a building, we had to go through that town, and we spent a couple of months just making contacts. And then the third month we had a service. But the church officially didn't start until it was organized, and that was nearly a year later. It's not easy to start a church. Paul goes to Thessalonica, and it doesn't really say that he started the church, but it says he had an impact for people that heard him preach, and the church got started. 3 weeks. And so these people were marked by God. They had a strong faith. You will never be a distinct church without a strong faith. The second thing I think that that Paul saw in them is that they received the word of God joyfully, literally. Listen to verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. There were a lot of teachers in Greece. They had great words. Great speeches. They articulated great philosophy. Words, 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 words. Paul came in and preached the word, but he didn't just preach the word. They weren't really hearing Paul. They were hearing the Spirit of God. You did not hear it in word only, but in power. There was power behind his words. And they recognized it. They heard philosophers all the time. They may have went back even some days and said, "My, that was interesting." But when they heard Paul preach the word of God in power, it changed their lives. And they received that word. It says that this reception was by the power of God, by the Holy Ghost of God. God brought conviction upon their hearts. They were moved by the Spirit of God, received Christ, and were different. They didn't receive a new philosophy. They received a changed 3 weeks. I just can't get over that. 3 weeks. The third thing He said, you became followers. You became followers. That's number six. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. They became followers. They didn't just say they liked what they heard. They didn't just say they accepted what they heard. But they became followers of Paul. Can you imagine? 3 weeks, by the end of the third week, people are following him all over the city. It was unbelievable. In fact, one fellow I got saved there was Jason. They got so mad at Paul and what he was preaching to Jews that didn't believe. They went to Jason's house, accosted him, arrested Paul, arrested Silas, finally calmed down, let him go. But they followed. They followed. They believed the same truth. They held to the same doctrine. They evidenced the same life. They were changed by the power of God. They desired the same spiritual things. They followed. They followed. Paul says, not only did you follow, but he said you were incredible examples. Now get this. Berea was started. I don't know how many weeks he was there, months, but he was there longer than he was at Thessalonica. Corinth he spent. 7 years in Corinth. Even in Athens he spent more time than he did at Thessalonica. So here's this church, 3 weeks old. Gets started, begins a church, grows the church, establishes a sound, doctrinally-based ministry. And Paul says in verse 7 of this church, after some years, he says, so that you were in samples, that's the word model for us, or one who looks like the other. They seem to resemble the apostle. And they seem to resemble Christ. They were examples. Evidently, so strong was their example. Listen to this. That it caused others in Macedonia and Achaia, and listen to this, Asia Minor. Macedonia, all of Macedonia, all of Achaia, Asia Minor, it caused people in those areas to follow this church and pattern the establishing of a church after the pattern they saw at Thessalonica. That is one of the most incredible thoughts in this verse. Verse 7, let me read it to you again. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Before Corinth was started, Corinth, the city of Corinth heard about Thessalonica. They heard about it. In the 8th and 9th chapters, 2 Corinthians, you need to read that maybe sometime. There's an offering being taken for the church of Jerusalem. Paul encourages Corinth to take part. Jerusalem was in terrible disarray. They were under incredible attack. Persecution was great. They had no real income. And so he came to Corinth and said, you need to take offering. And so he said, but I want to give you an example of that. So he gives them an example of the churches in Macedonia, Thessalonica, the churches of Macedonia. He said, listen what they did. They took this offering, gave it to Paul, and said, make sure you get it. Rush it to Jerusalem. They were under attack. They were under persecution. They couldn't buy, sell, or trade. By this time in Thessalonica, they had very limited food supply, very limited clothes supply, very limited income, and yet they took this incredible offering. In fact, it says they gave out of their poverty. Corinth was not affected by that, and they came. Corinth was a rich church, troubled with rich. Corinth didn't have to be moved to give it out of poverty. They were just kind of sitting around. They still hadn't taken an offering. So Paul brings up these Macedonian churches to tell the church at Corinth, you better get ready to do this. So Thessalonica, the primary church in Macedonia, was a testimony all the way down to Corinth, all the way over to Asia Minor, all the way through Macedonia. They had an incredible example. Then there's one last thing. Their impact was enormous. Just overwhelming. I'll tell you what. There's no church in America that has the impact this church had. None. Well, I know a church that's 8,000. It doesn't matter. They didn't have this impact. It says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, here's that phrase, every place, that seems to imply beyond the borders of Macedonia and Achaia or Greece, all the way through Asia Minor. People heard. We've got to stop by there. We've got to see that church. We've got to see what's going on there. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Listen to this. Your faith to God word is spread abroad. Listen to this. So that we need not speak anything. When Paul wrote a letter to Corinth, what did he do? He spoke all things. Corrected this, corrected that, corrected this, corrected that, corrected this, Corinth, Colossae, even Ephesus, even had a few things in Sigurdville. But to Thessalonica, he didn't have a thing to say. So there's nothing more we can tell you, nothing more we can show you, nothing more we can example you, there's nothing more that you need because you've got it all. You have arrived at a place, he's saying, not that you've left off growing, he said you're growing. Not that you don't need more growth, they did. But he said, your example is so sterling, so incredible, so unbelievable, that it echoes grace through Macedonia, Achaia, and Asia Minor. That's like saying North Carolina, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia. You imagine that impact. People in all those areas heard about this church because of its incredible, enormous, echoed out grace of God's people. Okay, now I got a question. Service on that. What were the remarkable qualities? Paul gives a picture of that. What made them so remarkable? What made the church so different? Look at verse 3. We skipped that on purpose. Verse 3 says, Paul, remembering, thinking through now about your church, we remember. We've heard so many things that cause this memory to come up often. We remember without ceasing three things. Number one, your work of faith. Number two, your labor of love. And number three, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sight of God and our Father. He says, let me tell you what made them so remarkable. What was it that they did, or what did they have? What were they like? Number one, they had a work of faith. This is saying not a faith venture as much as it's saying a work that is produced by your faith. When you get saved, you get faith in Christ. That should make you different. That should change you. It obviously didn't enter into their mind that they shouldn't go out and tell people. They sounded forth the word of God. It was a work based on their faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Works can't save you, but works certainly are a picture of your faith. They had a work of faith. In the activity of ministry, their faith stirred them to active ministry. If you're saved, you put your faith in Christ, what are you doing? Where's the activity? They did something. They were actively involved. There were no sideline sitters. This church had an impact. Why were they so remarkable? They had a work of faith. A work produced by faith. And if you think about it, in their relationships, in the body there. A work of faith, if you're working for God, it takes care of disgruntled believers. It takes care of people who are going to find fault. Because if you're working to produce for God, you're working based on your faith in Christ, if you're working, the body will desire harmony and community in that church. I'll tell you, after pastoring all the years that I pastored, one thing I can tell you is the people that serve God and working for God were never the ones that brought the problem in the church. Not one of them was. None. But the people who were doing things found fault, criticized. They did not have a working faith. Secondly, what was the remarkable qualities? Number two, it says a labor of love. In fact, the thought here is a labor or laboring prompted by love. The word labor connotates arduous intents, hard work, something that costs you something. That's labor. But this labor wasn't motivated by $40 an hour. Wasn't motivated by the position you held. It was motivated by love. That's unbelievable. Labor of love. Acts of care. Meeting the needs of others. They won't care how much you know till they know how much you care. I'll say that again. You've heard that before. They won't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Acts of care. And to see that in a church that is laboring in love will produce acts of care. They'll be producing acts of commitment. Let me give you my definition of commitment. Commitment is doing what you said you would do until it's done. Let me say that again. Doing what you said you'd do until it's done. I know a lot of people start out doing what they said they'd do and quit. It gets too hard. I've been over there enough. Let them figure it out themselves. But doing what you said you would do until it's done, that's commitment. And we need a bunch of committed believers. In the church today, commitment counts. Rick and Sue Simons are friends of ours. They're missionaries to Kenya, East Africa. They, when they left, they had one focus. And let you understand the invitation people getting ready to go to a mission field, what is required of that? To pack, to make sure everything's there. You ship it over a couple of three containers and hope it arrives. And when it gets there, in a third world country like Kenya, they are open copious signs before the missionaries ever get the goods. And then when they go through the checkpoints, they take out stuff that they want, clothes, any food items. I mean, by the time the missionaries get it, it doesn't look like the stuff they shipped. But that wasn't Rick or Sue's attitude at all. They didn't even think about those things. He said, you know what? I'm committed to reaching these Kenyans and never see them. So they land the first day. They talk to some missionaries. They said, we want to get some curtains for the place we're staying. The guy said, okay, let me tell you where. He said, we thought we'd go down to the area where all the local, really the poor people are. The shopping area out on the street. They said, don't go there. Don't go there. Over here where you can shop and feel safe. Rick and Sue talked about it and went down to the border area. They walked to another place and they were looking for linens for sale. They found this one. They knocked on the door and they opened the door. There was a guy sitting there, his feet on the desk. He's reading a book. Rick says, what are you reading? He said, the Bible. Rick said, the Bible? He said, the Bible. He said, well, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no. How can I? And let some man show me. Holy smokes. Read chapter of Acts. Rips it off, show him. Over the Bible, led that man to Christ. While he's leading that man to Christ, his wife comes out of the back room. She said, can I hear? Yeah. So led her to Christ. Next night, they get an invitation to go to these two people's house for tea. Now their house was just a little shed with one light in it, two places to lay, and a burning area to cook on. But they went, they sat down, and they thanked him for coming, thanked him for telling them about Jesus, thanked him for their salvation, and knocked at the door. She opened the door and in comes her brother, his wife, her cousin, his wife, about eight people. And she said, here's the missionary. He wants you to tell you about Jesus. So he spent about 4 hours there and led all those people to Christ. In fact, in the first two or three weeks, so many folks came to Christ that he said, we got to do something. We got to start a church. They did. They started five churches there in Kenya. Why? They had a labor of love. They were committed to loving people. And they had one other thing. It says they had a patience of hope. A patience of hope. They endured the hardships. They were like Moses, who wouldn't accept Egypt. The Bible says because he saw him who is invisible. He saw God every day. Trials, circumstances, failures. What kept him going? Hope. And patient waiting in hope. And what's our hope? Verse 10. To wait for his son from heaven when he raised from the dead. They knew Jesus was coming. They knew if they were to die, they'd go straight to heaven. They knew that they were serving a risen hope, not a dead one. And so they endured all the difficulty, all the hardship. All the persecution. All the suffering. And kept on until their impact was so great. I just can't get by this. And all of Macedonia. All of Achaia, all of Asia Minor were affected by their testimony. How do you make a great church? What marks a great church? This church was dynamite. I guess if you want to model your church, that'd be a good one to find. Model that. Lord, help us to live like that. What a great church. What an incredible ministry. Lord, help us to have a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience in it. Until you come again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.